Jason Minidakis, the Marin Theatre Company, doesn't do that many of the old standard classics. What brought you to decide to do Chekhov?
Well, Seagull and Chekhov, I love both quite a bit, and I've been waiting to do a Seagull for a very, very long time. The play really resonates with me because it's about artists. It's about artists trying to create art. It's about people who are desperately in love with others. There's a lot of unrequited love going on in the play. So it's got a big tapestry. And I also love it because it's one of Chekhov's few plays where many of the major characters actually go on a journey away from the place that you see them at. So the estate that we're on in this play, many of the characters are there in the first three acts, and then they go away for a period of time, a two-year period between acts three and acts four. And I really love what that does. It's such a different tapestry that he's working with in this play than in any other. So those are all reasons why I love the play. On top of that, we have been, over the past couple of years, finding a real kinship with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival through some of the productions that we've been doing and some of the artists that we've been working with. And I was talking to Bill Rausch a year and a half ago about my desire to do a production of Seagull, and he asked which version I was looking at. And at the time, Christopher Hampton, a British playwright, had just come out with a new version that I was thinking about. And he said, well, if you want something a little different, Libby Apple, our former artistic director here at OSF, has been writing new versions of the plays on her own. She's been working with a woman named Allison Horsley, who is a literal translator of the scripts from Russian. And Libby's done something really different with Seagull specifically. She, A, has changed the name from The Seagull to Seagull, which is actually the title of the play in Russian, because the Russians don't use those kind of articles the way English does. The actual title of the play in Russian is just Chaika, which is actual gull, not even seagull. But Sobe has decided to drop the article off the beginning of the title. She's also gone back to Chekhov's original manuscripts, which only became available to us through the Moscow Art Theater archives when the came down and Russia really opened up. We're finally able to get into the Moscow Art Theater archives and see some of the original papers. And in Chekhov's final drafts, there are versions, there are what we call variants, text that was not in the official version of the play that ended up being done. And what we know is that Chekhov intended those passages to be done, but they were struck either by the Russian censor or they were struck by the play's first, well, the play's second director, Konstantin Stanislavsky, when the play was revived at the Moscow Art Theater. So Libby opted to use some of those variants, and some of them have never been performed on stage before. So when I got to read the play, I was about, I guess the first big section is in Act Two, so I was about 30 pages into the play, and I came across a passage that, you know, I know this play very well, and as I'm reading this section, my breath kind of caught because I was like, I've never read that before. What is that? I've never heard it. This is a whole new thing. So it was thrilling because it was a monologue that really unveils a lot of things about the characters that they struck out because they felt it was too improper if it didn't pass the censor, or Stanislavsky felt like it told you things about the characters that he didn't want you to know.
This particular monologue, who speaks the monologue?
Paulina, the wife of Shimraev, who is the woman who kind of runs the household.
One of the comments about it was that this was a more physical version of Seagull or the Seagull. What makes it more physical?
Well, that was something that we chose to do in the actual interpretation of the actors working on the physical life of the play. We have taken our lead from Libby, who, when she did this translation, one of the things that she believes strongly is that new versions of the play should be done every couple of years because the idiom of how we speak changes so radically, even within 4 or 5 years. So what she has opted to do with this version is to take a very American approach to the text. The uses of language, some of her word choices, some of her choices of syntax, some of her sentence construction has all been in a very American-friendly way. What results is a very muscular, rich text. In the Russian, the language is very clipped and very short. It's sort of surprising how muscular and how rhythmic it is.
Is it also very contemporary to the time? I mean, would it be the equivalent of, say, watching a movie that came out this year? I mean, you know, that kind of contemporary?
It was for Chekhov's audience when they were first hearing it. That's one of the things that Libby's tried to do, was make it feel very contemporary for us in terms of the way the language is put together. The actual production itself is going to look, we've chosen period silhouettes for the costumes. We've got some period pieces on stage. We have a period grand box piano that's on stage the entire play. So those touches are very much of the 1890s in Russia. Some of the fabric choices that we've made has been a little bit more contemporary. What we've also done is, because the language is so contemporary in its syntax, we've let the physical life of the play be a little bit more contemporary as well. People are a little bit freer with the way they move. They're a little bit freer with the way they sit and stand and posture. So we think that'll give an intimacy to it for people seeing it today that will give them another in on the play, because the physical life is kind of matching what Libby was intending with the textual life of the play.
Not too long ago, Jason Minidakis, I saw the 1975 version. It's the only version you can get from Netflix, with Blythe Danner and Frank Langella, a young Frank Langella. But I looked up all of the ages. Lee Grant played his mother, and in point of fact, she was only like 9 years older. Yeah. It was not quite what it appeared to be. And he was pushing 40. He was older than he looked. One of the difficulties I found was in the language, has not instead of hasn't, which gives it, I guess, a very formalized feel. The language is such that it's really hard at times not to start laughing if you've seen Woody Allen's Love and Death. And I think that may be a problem with Chekhov. I don't know.
You know, it's more of how the different translators, what idiom they choose to put the play into. And that's something that I think people are going to find with Libby's version that they're going to be very excited about, because she uses the contractions the way we would use contractions today, partly because the way they spoke in the original Russian was very diverse depending on what the background of each character was.
So there's a class element.
There is. However, what it does is it allows there to be many, many different types of speech over the course of the play. But Libby has chosen to frame it all within sort of a contemporary context in terms of the way the language is structured. So the difference between the way the servants speak and the way the upper class folks speak is going to feel all within a contemporary frame of reference for us as we listen to the play.
Well, do the younger characters, Nina and Kosta, do they speak differently than, say, Arkadina?
They do. Their rhythms are a little bit different. Their use of contractions, they use contractions more than she does. She uses a very heightened style of speech because she's an actor and because she's a very famous actor. She's 43 years old, so her rhythm and her choice of the way she constructs her language is very different than the way Nina does, who's a country girl and is only 19 when the play begins. So their rhythms and their syntax are quite a bit different, and I think it's really going to help people understand where they come from and where they are in life.
I mentioned watching it to a couple of people who immediately began making noises and pulling their finger under their throat, like, this is not something I would want to say. I think there's a fear with Chekhov. I think it's one that may exist with Ibsen, but not necessarily with Shakespeare. People are kind of afraid of it. They think it's going to be dull.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing about it is that I think a lot of that has to do with the translations. The majority of the translations that most people have seen have been from British playwrights. And British playwrights use what they know of their class structure. That's how they were raised. And I think that often gets inserted into Chekhov's plays. And that structure ends up becoming much more stilted than the Russian structure actually is. So that's something that we've worked on this production quite rigorously to try to make sure that it's more of a Russian structure than it is a British structure. The language is much more accessible. Like I said, the physical life of the play, because Libby has opted to go with such a rich, deep, visceral translation and the word choices that she's made, we've tried to do the same thing with the physical life of the play. I think people are going to be very, very surprised when they see this about how connected Chekhov is to Shakespeare in terms of the things that happen on stage and the amount of recognizability that these characters have for people, because he is such an astute chronicler of life, much the same way Shakespeare is. And his dramatic sense is to find the rhythms in that life and to find the way the rhythms repeat themselves. So I think this production specifically, I think people are going to be very excited to see how vibrant and how passionate, how much surprise there is in every moment of the play.
For you as a director, do you feel freer? Do you feel constrained at all by the fact that it's Chekhov, or freer by the sense that it's something new? And how would you compare it, say, to thinking about the fact that you'll be doing Albee in a few months, or some of the more original works that you've done in the past?
The fascinating thing is that any time you approach a play, whether it's Chekhov from 1894, or whether it's Shakespeare from the 1600s, or whether it's a brand new play, I think we all approach it, everyone who's working on a piece, as if it's a new play. We're very lucky in this version that we really do have a new version of the play to be working on. And all the choices that Libby made have freed us up to find our own way into the play and to find a different way into the play than perhaps people have seen before, or perhaps the way other artists have approached the text. Every choice that we made over the course of this play has been very much generated from the actors dealing with the text as if they were looking at the text for the very first time. I think that's something that really comes through when in each production, for instance, the play within the play that happens in the first act, many productions decide to try to make that entertaining for the audience as opposed to trying to make it entertaining for the people on stage. A lot of the things that Kostya's trying to do in that play are very new things for the people watching the play. They're not very new for the people in the audience who are watching the play that's happening on stage. So what we've done in this version is we've tried to make it apparent that it's brand new for the people who are watching it. It's not new for us, and therefore some of the humor that comes out is sort of surprising. The things that they laugh at, there are a few things that Nina opts to do in the play that are pretty surprising to them because they're not used to seeing it. They're used to seeing theater with the fourth wall, and she does some things to break that fourth wall that are sort of surprising to them and end up in creating humorous situations for the people that are watching them watch the play.
The version I saw, the language in the play was sufficiently stilted to separate it out from Chekhov. Is that still there?
Libby's opted to give it a very interesting flow, and the actor that we have playing the part, Christine Albright, has an amazing gift for poetry, and she's done a really lovely job of making it unbelievably moving. The neat thing is, in that play, Kostya is so hoping to have a big hit with this thing that, when it does eventually go awry, it really hurts him. What we've tried to do is find those places where the play is really succeeding. It's doing what he hoped, and that there are only a few things that go wrong that end up derailing the entire process. So that's been something that's been exciting to work on and to see come to life on stage.
Well, it seems that the character that might change the most would be Trigorin, the novelist. Mm-hmm. At least in the version I saw, it seems like he could be more malleable, either becoming stronger or more of an egomaniac. Is there any difference in that character?
Oh, yes, huge difference. The actor that we have playing the part is Craig Marker. This is the third production that he's done with us in about a year. He is an actor in his early 30s, and Trigorin is normally played much older than that. In the play, they say he's nowhere near 40. We've cast the entire play much younger than people are probably used to seeing.
Nina's supposed to be only around 19, right?
Right. Nina's 19, Kostya's 25, Trigorin is nowhere near 40, Arkadin is 43. And we have cast actors that are very close to those ages, when normally those actors are cast anywhere from sometimes 10, 15 years older than the actual part. And a lot of people say that, the age of people at that time period are significantly higher than what they would be now. But what we found is that, a 43-year-old actor is trying to hold on to her youth. And anybody who's in their 40s, they're trying to hold on to their 30s, And what we found is a real vibrancy to having cast these characters much younger than what you normally see. Craig, because he's such a strong physical presence, he's really been able to sink into the things that they say about Trigorin in the script, which is that he's very malleable. He doesn't have a will of his own. He is very controlled by the women around him, that for some reason they find him terribly attractive, but they all get him to do what they want. And Craig has really explored that part of the character and done some really interesting things with it. And the women have therefore opted to, in a symbiotic way, create a much stronger versions of some of these women than I think people have seen before.
Frank Langella was like 37 as Costa, and when he's prancing around and having all of these feelings for the 32-year-old Blythe Danner, no, you've got to be very young. And it's like Romeo and Juliet.
It is. And that's one of the things that we really found with the romance between Costa and Nina that we explored in the first two acts, was the Romeo and Juliet nature of it. And, you know, we've got two very young actors playing the part. They are right in the right age ranges for these characters. It is exciting to see the entire cast be cast at the age that they say they are in the play. It makes for some real tension when you have Trigorin trapped between an older woman who's 10 years his senior and another woman who's 10 years his junior, and trying to figure out which way his heart's pulling him and which way his mind is pulling him is quite an interesting battle.
Is there any political subtext that's been brought out here, or that's actually in the play or not?
Chekhov really had to avoid political statements. Over the course of his career, he started to slip more things into the plays in terms of giving the lower class characters more power, as they got more power actually in Russian society from between the 1890s and 1920s. That was when everything changed. The serfs had just been freed when Chekhov was writing. So he was able to present the serfs as free men, and they were beginning to accumulate money and beginning to accumulate a little bit of power, but they were still very much stuck in the class system. And he gives them some things to say that could border on the political, but he never fully takes a political stance. It's very clear that he's a humanist, and it's very, very clear that he believes the class structure should have been pulled down, that he was hoping that his people would be able to find a way to cross those barriers and to allow people to climb, because his grandfather was a serf. He was only the second generation that was free in his family. And he was able to become a doctor and a very successful short story writer, and eventually one of our greatest dramatists. Drama was actually his third career. Short story writing was his second career, and medicine was his first career.
Chekhov's short stories, I've been told by short story writers that they're absolutely astonishing, and he's God.
They're amazing. They're wonderful stories. One of his favorite sayings was that his rightful wife was being a doctor and his mistress was literature. And when he got tired of one, he would spend the night with the other. His first career in literary circles was actually short story writing. That's how he broke in. And he very much wanted to become a dramatist. And he tried his hand a few times with different plays. The Wood Demon was one of his first plays that eventually would be reworked and would become Uncle Vanya. He had another play that he never finished called Platonov, that was a monstrous play, very big. Another play that he wrote before Seagull was called Ivanov. And then Seagull was the fourth full-length play that he tried, and one of the first major productions that he got. The first time that it was premiered, it was a disaster. It was done at a smaller theater outside of Moscow, and it just got terrible, terrible reviews. Chekhov was really mortified by the play and the reaction that it got, and then the play was subsequently remounted at the Moscow Art Theater by Konstantin Stanislavsky for their inaugural season. And it was a huge success, and that's when his career as a dramatist really took off. But he certainly began his literary career as a short story writer.
If this is successful in terms of crowds, let's say, or even not, do you intend on maybe doing Vanya?
I would love to eventually do all of Libby's translations. She's done an amazing job. So far, she's already done the big four. So she's done Vanya and Three Sisters and The Cherry Orchard. They're wonderful scripts. We would love to continue our relationship with her, and I think Vanya would definitely be one that we would love to do. I know Three Sisters is being done this year over at Berkeley, and we're working with them a little bit to try to get audiences to go back and forth between Sarah Rule's Three Sisters and our production of Seagull. So hopefully folks from Berkeley will be coming over to see Berkeley Rep. Yep, and hopefully, you know, our folks will be going over to Berkeley to see Sarah's piece, which Les is directing, so it should be a great show. But yeah, we would love to do them all if our audiences take to it. I really do think Libby's got such an interesting way of feeling Chekhov. She's been studying Chekhov since she was 16 years old. She says she passionately fell in love with him the very first time that she read Cherry Orchard as a 16-year-old girl, and that her husband has always had to make room in their lives for Chekhov, who is her other husband and her boyfriend.
So she has an amazing love for these plays, and she's directed all of them and has an amazing knowledge of how they work. And she's bringing what she's learned about the plays to these new versions. And it's a very exciting process, and it's one that I hope we can be a part of continuing down the road.
In terms of your overall work, I know obviously each play in its own way is your own baby, and it's born and it goes out there. But in terms of that, when you're looking at something like The Seagull, do you see it, or Seagull, do you see it as just a continuation or something special? I mean, how do you view working on Chekhov in terms of your career?
It's been an absolutely thrilling process to get to sink down into this play. I can very easily see why when Russian companies do these works, they give them 6 months to rehearse, because it feels like you could easily work that long to even begin to really scratch the surface of the play. Every play that you do feels like the only play that you will ever do. There's sort of that world that kind of gets created around it, and with the artists that you're working with, it really feels like this is the first and last play that you've been working on. That's one of the things that's so wonderful about our business, is that every time we start one of these new projects, a new family gets created, a new team of artists gets created, and that group is working on a piece of material that they will probably never be working on together again. So there's always a new way of finding how to work, and it always feels like the best way while you're in the middle of working on that piece. And when you really find a group of artists who click together and you find a process that really works, that's when real magic ends up taking place. And I've been very lucky with this group of artists. It's been a joy from the first day of rehearsal. One of the things that I went home and I was talking with my wife, and I said, you know, it's just sort of an embarrassment of riches on stage right now that I've got, that I'm working with. And when you're in the middle of it, it really feels like the only play that you'll ever do. It's been very exciting.
Jason Minidakis, who's the artistic director of Marin Theater Company. I'm Richard Walensky on Open Book.